Hey, what's up? Thank you for tuning in to the Hard File Bill Show on the Hard File Sports Podcast Network. My name is Evan Sally. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm a writer at hardfilesports.com. Very excited to be bringing you another great guest. Last week, we had Kean Fahey of Football Outsiders. And this week, we're bringing you, we're going to the very top. We're going to the mothership. We're going to the worldwide leader in sports, ESPN. It's our good friend, Kevin Connors, massive Bills fan and an anchor for ESPN SportsCenter. Kevin, how are you today?
I'm great, Evan. Thanks a lot for having me on, man.
No, thanks so much for doing the show. We had Kevin on a few times, and he's always great, and he's a huge Bills fan. So wanted to get him on. I wanted to get him on before last week's show to talk about that big Raiders game. But now instead we get to talk about what was one of the wilder, more depressing games, I guess, in recent Bills history. when it comes to a game like that, I mean, that game is probably of its own caliber, but there's been so many painful losses for the Bills recently. I mean, how do you experience a game like that? Because they started off doing so well, and then just that rapid collapse. I mean, put me in Kevin Connors' shoes when he's watching that Raiders game. I mean, how do you absorb that?
Well, so here's how it works for me. I live in Connecticut, obviously, where ESPN is headquartered, and so we get about 3 Bills games a year. We get the 2 Patriots games, and then whatever the Thursday night football game is, and if there's a Monday night football game, which of course there was this year. So besides that, I've got to go find a sports bar or come into work to watch games, which I do. So this past week, I went with my wife and my daughter, and we went to one of the local sports bar restaurants in town, and we watched the first half there, and I'm watching the game, and I'm saying to myself, man, it's finally coming together. I mean, we're playing really well. The offensive line is gashing holes in the Raiders' defense, and Jay McCoy is showing why, to me, he's one of the 3 best running backs in the NFL. And I mean, it couldn't have gone any better. And then I got to go home and search on Twitter and on Google, and I'm looking to see if there's a Bills-Raiders stream that I can watch illegally, and I find one that probably corrupted files on my computer, and people probably stole my information, whatever else, and I'm watching what happened in the second half. And Evan, I'm saying to myself, what in the world just happened? And I still don't quite understand what happened in the second half of that game. But as you put it, it's one of the more painful losses that we've experienced in some time. And when you think about the past 15 years of Bills history, I mean, that really is saying something.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And I think it's something that I wrote about on the website this week about how what made this one particularly brutal was, you get the 2 losses, the 2 wins leading up to it. You're feeling good about where this team is at. And then all of a sudden you're going in against a 9-2 team and you're feeling great. I mean, you're up 15 points. At that point, even if, I'm not, as Bills fans, of course, we're never presumptuous or silly enough to ever assume they're ever going to win a game. I mean, they need to guys see triple zeros before you actually assume the Bills are going to win it. But even then, it's like it would take a massive effort for Oakland to come back and win this game. And then when they're able to do it so easily, I think that was the most discouraging part about what happened on Sunday. And now here we are, where the playoffs, we're kind of on the outside looking in on the playoffs again at the bottom of the in the hunt graphic, like we always joke about. Bills need to win out to have any sort of, and get help to have any sort of chance of making it. I mean, we'll start big and then zoom in a little bit. Just what has been your overall thoughts on this season? Because when last time we spoke, right before the year, we had some high hopes about where the season could go, but now here they are 6-6. I mean, what have you made of this season overall? I mean, have you been encouraged by what you've seen? Is it more disappointment just because you're not going to make the playoffs? Where are you at right now?
Well, I'll give you the micro and the macro.
Okay.
The macro is I still feel that this is a playoff caliber roster. Now, whether or not we make the playoffs is another story, but this is a playoff caliber roster. And injuries happen, but injuries happen to every team in the NFL. The micro is there's no question that there has been progress made this season. And I think that there have been a lot of encouraging aspects to come out of this season. Certainly some discouraging ones too, but a lot of encouraging ones. The game in Seattle, we played as well a game in a big spot. I mean, going into Seattle on Monday night, that's a brutal, brutal game. And I think the Bills played as well in that game as they have in any game all season long. But Evan, the bottom line is they're 6-6. And so we can look at the micro and say, boy, this guy's looked good, or we've played well in these games, but the proof is in the pudding, and we're a 500 team right now. Now, having said that, over the final five games, I had the Oakland game as a loss, and I said, we've got a favorable final four games, and if we win those games, we'll be 10-6. And then let's see where we are at that point. So, you know what, the reality is now there is zero margin for error. We can't lose another game or well, there's no chance. A 9-17 in the AFC this year is not getting in. So let's see what happens when we get to 10-6 and where everybody else is. But it's such a tough spot. If we finish 10-6, which right now is a big if, but if we finish 10-6 and we don't make the playoffs, then how do you evaluate the season? And that's a conversation that we can have in a couple of weeks, if in fact that happens. But boy, wouldn't that just be so Bills for us to go 10-6 and not make the playoff?
Yeah, that does seem like the last ultimate hurdle to get over this curse, right? Just to get as close as physically possible to the playoffs, and then still not make it, and have to overcome all over again. But you know, it's interesting. I'm really curious to see how the team bounces back from last week, because I mean, if it's anything like the fan base took it, I mean, it could be a potentially really devastating loss for the team. And I know they have, you know, like you mentioned, the season is not over yet, but I know amongst the fan base and amongst a lot of the people I'm talking to, it definitely feels that way, because it's how can this team that just blew that lead win four games in a row, even though they're all fairly winnable game, especially if you get past Pittsburgh, as you mentioned. It definitely seems, especially when it comes to evaluating Tyrod Taylor, that a lot of people press the eject button this week. Were just, it was so frustrating to see him not being able to make those throws late in the game, you know, on those four consecutive drives where it was just, you know, three straight three and outs, and then the pick he threw after Khalil Mack, you know, tipped the ball. It was just, if Tyrod could put together one throw, one drive there, everything could be different, but he wasn't able to. So people are a little more ambivalent now with the contract coming up too. It just seems like things are kind of collapsing in the Tyrod Taylor front. I'm just curious, where are you at with Tyrod right now? Because I still think he's one of the best quarterbacks we've had in some time, but still, those limitations are so apparent that it just makes it so hard to evaluate the guy, right?
Which is exactly what I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
I can't think of a more difficult decision that the Bills have had in a long time than this one. Because he shows you flashes, and he can do things that other quarterbacks in the NFL simply can't do. And then there are things that he can't do that a lot of other quarterbacks can do. I don't know that Tyrod throws guys open a lot, and yet he's so good at throwing the deep ball. It's almost an oxymoron in some ways. You know, I mean, he has weapons offensively. I know guys have been hurt this year, but he has weapons, and yet we can't seem to consistently even throw in Sammy Watkins' direction when he's healthy. And then yet there are other times where he makes Justin Turner look like a legitimate NFL wide receiver. It's such a difficult situation because of the amount of money that he will be owed if he's on the roster a few months into 2017. And yet the answer, the question then is, okay, well, if we cut him, then who are you going to start a quarterback next season? Who on the free agent market are you going to go spend money on and have be a better option long-term for the team? It's such a difficult situation, and I vacillate from week to week as to whether or not Tyrod's the guy or if he's not. And I still don't know, you know, going into what, week 13 of the NFL season, I still don't know the answer.
Right. I mean, I think that's where everyone's at right now. Even, I mean, I'm sure if you asked, you know, put Doug Whaley and Rex Ryan on truth serum or, you know, maybe a couple shots of tequila, they'd be able to tell you exactly the way they feel. But even with their public comments, they've been going back and forth, you know, hemming and hawing on this. I mean, just this morning on the local radio station here, Doug Whaley was speaking in a way that almost made you feel like they're leaning towards not giving the extension, or at least they're more ambivalent about it than we thought. I do think it's an interesting situation that I'm noticing, that if you look at people outside of the Bills fandom, outside of our bubble here, they all seem to maybe overrate Tyrod a bit, because they've seen what the quarterbacks, you know, the crap that we've had play quarterback here, and they're seeing like, hey, this guy's so much better than what you've had, like, why aren't you more appreciative? And then here, and among Bills fans in general, I think we may underrate a little bit because we want so much more from the guy. I mean, what do you think the correct, like, tack to take on that is? Because, like you mentioned, I mean, who else is going to play quarterback? Because I don't want to, because at the very least, Tyrod Taylor makes his team entertaining, albeit frustrating, but they're entertaining now and they're in these games. And that's something, is, are we really going to throw away that to have a chance at being a little bit better when you're not really plugging in a guy who's like a number one overall pick, you know, type guy?
Right. Well, so here are a couple things that I know. I know that EJ Manuel is not the answer.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I know that he is not a starting quarterback in the NFL. I know that there are probably five or six franchise-changing quarterbacks in the NFL. And then I know that there are a lot of guys who are good enough to get you to the playoffs. And then I know that there are guys who are the best that you can do and probably not starting quarterbacks. And probably Tyrod falls in between that second and third group somewhere where he's a spark. He's a guy that can win you games. He has limitations. And the fact of the matter is, you know, let's take, as you said, a wide angle lens look at this Bills team right now. We have an elite running back, and they have a guy who, if he can ever be healthy, which is a huge if, at wide receiver, can be an elite wide receiver. And we spent a truckload of money on a tight end who hasn't paid those returns in a year and a half, with the exception of that one game in Miami. So, you know, who are you going to get to replace him? Who's realistic to fill that spot? Are there too many guys who are that much of an upgrade from Tyrod? And yet, do you want to make that kind of long-term investment in a guy, which it will be? I mean, this is an expensive contract that he has beyond this first year. Do you want to do that with a guy who is not necessarily the answer? And by the answer, I mean the long-term answer who will help us contend to be a Super Bowl team. And I guess, I want him to be it so much. I really do. And I guess if you're pressing me to give you an answer, my answer is that he's probably not the guy. And I hate to say it, but I'll also couch it, Evan, by saying this. As I said early on, there's probably maybe seven guys who are that kind of quarterback, and then there's everybody else. And it's a tough world to live in, boy. If you know, you take a look and see who the playoff teams are going to be this year, and I guarantee you that most, if not all of them, have quarterbacks that you'd say, boy, I wish he was on my team.
Right, absolutely. I mean, I think what makes it tough is that seemingly every year there's some guy who's just kind of unheralded and he's able to lead his team to great things. And you're seeing that with Dak Prescott this year, how that those situations kind of increase the frustration where it's like, man, we could just stumble upon one of these guys. And I think to a certain extent, that's maybe what's leading a lot of the thinking too, where you're starting to see a lot more calls for Cardale. You want to be able to see Cardale Jones play and see how he can have a shot. But when you think about it, he's a fourth round pick, he's really going to be able to step in and be any better. But it's just like, hey, let's just roll these quarterback dice again. And it's just the point you made about how expensive this, you know, this contract is. I mean, there's an opt out after this season, and then it basically becomes another 2-year deal with another opt out in 2 years. But it's 2 years, like $40 million. And if I think, as you said, as we all know in our hearts and hearts that this guy really isn't the guy, he's not one of those transcendent types of quarterbacks, can you really justify paying him that level of money? Or is it worth taking the risk of a regression to maybe just, okay, let's try Cardale, let's draft somebody else, and let's keep trying to roll those dice? Because, like you mentioned, there's a lot of good players on this team, and you don't want to waste them either.
If the question is Tyrod Taylor a $20 million a year quarterback, my answer is no. And it's as simple as that. Now, is he, I can't put Cardale Jones in the same sentence right now as Tyrod Taylor. I mean, you know, with all due respect to the people that want to see him, if you want to see him, then be prepared for us to not have any chance of contending right now. Because this is a guy who played a handful of college games. And yes, he had success 1 year in college for half a year in big games, understandably, but he is not ready to be an NFL quarterback right now. I mean, Dak Prescott had a lot of experience in college, and he is in the perfect situation for a player, you know, of his youth right now. He is in an ideal situation, and yes, he's playing well, but we can't expect to put Cardale Jones into a situation going into week 14 of the season where we need to win four games in a row and say, you're our guy. That's just unrealistic. So, but moving forward, has Tyrod proven that he's a guy that you pay $20 million a year to? Not for me. And again, I hate to say that because I really, really like him as an individual, and I like what I see out of him at times on the field. But to me, I've got a different criteria for a guy that makes $20 million a year.
Right. You need that guy. I mean, it just the fact that the Bills have the worst passing offense in the league is just, oh man, it's just so tough to be able to pay that guy that money, and then simultaneously realizing that if you don't pay this guy that money, what's the alternative? And along the lines of those alternatives, and we'll get off a quarterback in a second, but I mean, this is just the number one question right now with this team, and it has been for 17 years, as you are well aware. Would you like to see them in this? I mean, in terms of the cap ramifications and all this other stuff, I'm not sure about, but would you like to see this team? Because when you look at, like you mentioned, good line, defense is talented but hurt, maybe they pull it together. You look at the offensive skill weapons, if they all are healthy, would you like to see the Bills go after a guy like Tony Romo or Jay Cutler in the offseason? You know, considering, let's say the Bills go 8-8 this year, another middling season, would you like to see one of those guys maybe come in here and kind of just, you know, plug them into a kind of a tailor-made situation as guys who have been proven in this league and can succeed? Is that the kind of risk you'd like to take, considering, you know, they do have shortcomings, both those guys as well?
No.
Okay.
Wow. I mean, neither one of those. No. Listen, and so again, we circle back to that's where we're at, you know. And I listen. Maybe there's some people who are listening and saying, you know, who does this guy think he is? Saying that Tyrod's not the guy. Look, you know, I'm just giving you my opinion as a fan. I'll tell you this: I'll take Tyrod Taylor over Jay Cutler and Tony Romo. I mean, Tony Romo can't stay healthy for a season, and I would not want Jay Cutler on my team. So if my choices are pay Tyrod $20 million a year or pay the same to Tony Romo and Jay Cutler, I'd say give me Tyrod and develop Cardale Jones or draft someone else that you like. But that's the tough spot that we're in. And you know what? Listen, as frustrated as Bills fans are, that's the tough spot that so many other teams in the league are in. You know, I mean, ask Jet fans how they feel about their quarterback situation. They got about 50 quarterbacks on the team, and they don't love any of them. You know, I mean, do you want Bryce Petty? Do you want Christian Hackenberg? Do you want Geno Smith? We know we don't want Ryan Fitzpatrick. We've been down that road already.
Right.
It's the singular most essential position in sports to have, and there are so few of them who can do it at the level that you need them to do it at. You know, Tyrod has had time. You know, he's been a starting quarterback for the past two seasons, and he's been given the keys to the Ferrari, and you know, and we're a 500 team with him as a starting quarterback, and that's the fact.
Yeah, that the record is what the record is. I mean, there's so many things you can look at, but gotta be able to win these games, especially when you look at these individual spots where he's not able to come up, where you maybe just need a couple throws from the guy, where it's like, oh, can you step up in these particular spots where you need the quarterback to transcend the other issues on your team. But I mean, that's where he's failed. Along those same lines about, you know, another guy who people are kind of getting sick of, and they're probably sick of Rex Ryan before they're sick of Tyrod Taylor. But where are you on Rex right now? I mean, before we spoke, you know, it's all about the record. Here they are potentially going 8-8, 9-7 again around that range. I mean, even if they go 10-6, it's only a couple wins here or there. I mean, what have you made from what you're seeing from Rex? And I mean, people want to run him out of town. I tend to think, well, let's give this guy a chance. But where are you on Rex Ryan right now?
Yeah, you know, I got to be consistent. I said in the preseason, if the Bills don't make the playoffs, then there needs to be a change. Rex is another guy who I really, really hope is the answer. And so, Seven, what do you do if the Bills go 10-6? Do you fire a coach for going 10-6 in the NFL?
Especially when you're the Bills, right? Especially when you're the Bills, and it feels wrong in a way, but
it does. And then the question that I always ask whenever people say, "Oh, let's fire this guy," and well, who would we get to coach the team? You know, a couple of years ago, we tried to get, you know, we went through all the big names: John Gruden, Bill Cowher, you know, all of them, Mike Shanahan.
Yep.
No, they all said thanks, but no thanks. So So who do you want to take a chance on? You know, do you want to give it to another young coordinator who's unproven and hope that we strike gold? I think Rex overall has done a pretty good job. I think that this is a pretty good roster, as I talked about. I think it's a playoff roster. I think it's tough to ignore some of the injuries that we've had. The center spot, that's a very tough injury to overcome. Losing your best wide receiver. I mean, how many wide receivers have gotten hurt this year? Losing first and second round pick before the season even started. So there'll be people who can point to those things and say, we've got to give Rex another year. And I probably would fall in that camp, even though I said preseason, if the Bills don't make the playoffs, that you got to make a change. It's just another one of those brutally difficult situations where Rex may not be on the level of Bill Belichick, but who is? And, you know, who are you going to bring in that's going to be better than Rex? And, boy, I don't know. I'm not helping you out with too many of my answers here today, but it's just such a difficult spot.
No, I mean, we've been trying to crack this case all year. I feel like I've been having trouble just in general from a game-to-game basis trying to figure out who the Bills are, let alone looking at them on the macro level. And it's an interesting situation where they're going to kind of like meander their way to 8-8. And it's like, I'm not even sure how they got here. Just like, oh, they're 8-8, you know? And in terms of that, I think, yeah, we mentioned injuries several times now. And I mean, they have, everyone gets hurt, but they've had an epic amount of injuries to really, really important guys. And I wonder, you know, with them being seemingly, you know, staring down another 500 season, another 500-ish season, missing the playoffs, does it seem like it's the right tact to just to keep trying? And this goes along with everything. Do you keep Tyrod, keeping Rex? Is the right tact to just keep trying to just get a little bit better season by season and hope, almost in a Kansas City Chiefs type way, where they keep bringing back, you know, Alex Smith and Andy Reid, and they were making the playoffs, so that's the main difference, but they were continuously, you know, 9-7, 10-6, continuously not having that high of a ceiling, but then eventually they've kind of gotten it together. Now they're a real threat to win it all. Do you want the Bills to kind of just to keep trying, at least for another season or two, to keep trying what they're doing? You got McCoy, you got Watkins, like you mentioned. Or do you want to see this team make like the big switch and to say, you know what, let's just bottom out. Let's just try to shake things up and come back up even stronger again, because I think people get tired of just the 8-8 over and over again, but I also don't want to be the Browns. You know, it's that weird place the fan base and the team are in right now.
Right. You know, a couple of years ago, I that's a very good question. A couple of years ago, I would have said, you know what, if you're going to be bad, be the worst bad in the NFL. Right? You know, if you're going to be, what's the sense in going 8-8 when you can go 2-14 and really get a game-changing guy in the draft? But that was a couple of years ago. You know, that was a couple of years ago when we were sort of doing it with Kyle Orton and a wing and a prayer. Right now, I say no. I think again, enough of this roster is good enough. And listen, if Reggie Ragland is the player that people say he is, and he comes back and he's healthy, and you've got a guy that can play in the middle of the field on defense for a long time, you know, and that's a key. This offensive line is very good, and if not mistaken, with the exception of Cordy Glenn, I think everyone comes back after this season. They can discuss Glenn and see what they're going to do there. You know, we've got pretty good receivers. Sammy is the big question mark. We've got an elite running back, but the window's closing on him being an elite NFL running back. So I say no, we've got to make a push with what we have right now, because if you don't, I mean, then again, then now you're talking three more years from even being at this level again. If we punt on the stars that we have right now. So I think you have to. I think you've got to make a push forward and tweak in some spots and hope that the tweaking that you do gets you over the hump. But, boy, it's tough being in NFL purgatory. And you know, we've been here. We haven't stunk for 15 years. We've kind of been in that, as you've talked about, Evan, that middle of the pack for a long time, and it's a very tough place to be.
It is. It's just, yeah, there's when there's seemingly just no clear path to take. You know, when you're terrible, you just keep being terrible until you hopefully, you know, land the right quarterback in the draft. If you're good, you know, you just make tweaks here and there and see what you can do in the playoffs. But we're in this little area, And that's where the 17 years really comes into effect, right? Where it's just the idea of maybe if they had made the playoffs 3 years ago, everything that's going on would be less of like, DEFCON 1 or 4, whatever the highest DEFCON is, less of an emergency and more of just, let's see how this all plays out. But instead, we have these 17, I'm already extending the playoff drought, but, 16 going on 17 years of no playoffs, it makes everything just more intense and more just like a high leverage situation when perhaps it doesn't need to be. So it's...
Well, but just think about that for, we're immersed in it, but think about it for a second, Evan. Think about what you just said. 17 years without being in the playoffs if they don't make it this year. I mean, that's almost hard to do. It's almost unbelievable, isn't it?
It is. It's truly in a league where everybody is able to have their little turn, at least making the playoffs. It does seem pretty impossible, and that's where I think the quarterback debate, and we spent quite a lot of time talking about that, but that's why I think that's the most important issue, and as we all know, but I think that the one hidden thing, I can't remember if we talked about this the last time you were on, but just that the Bills' philosophy at quarterback is what's created the scenario, where they've constantly tried to find some quarterback in non-traditional ways, whether it's, let's go trade for Drew Bledsoe, let's go bring in a third rounder like Trent Edwards, let's go get a journeyman if it's a guy like, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and they always ride them a little bit too long, and they'll miss their opportunities. And that's where the Tyrod thing scares me, because if they commit to him and then shut down the quarterback search, then it's like, okay, now we're buried and if he doesn't work out, now we're buried again. And it's like, I want them to find that middle ground where they can continue to look for quarterbacks while simultaneously being able to compete. And I hope, I'm not sure what the mindset is of the brain trust, especially if they feel like, there's a fire under their seats right now. And it's just that purgatory, like you said, and it's just that nobody knows where to go. And that's why we're all so frustrated about the current situation.
Well, right, but when we talk about the elite quarterbacks in the NFL and the teams that have them, I mean, in virtually every instance, with the exception of Russell Wilson, if you consider him to be an elite quarterback, and to me, he's kind of right on the line between elite and very good. With the exception of Russell Wilson, boy, every one of those guys was a first round pick, if not a top five pick. And so you talk about developing quarterbacks. Well, the Patriots have been developing Matt Castle for a long time. Not Matt Castle, Jimmy Garoppolo.
Garoppolo, yeah.
For a long time. And I'm not convinced that if you put Garoppolo on the Rams, that he makes them a contender overnight. Or maybe he is that good. But how many teams have had an elite quarterback and developed another one and passed the torch to them? I mean, the Packers might be the one. I can't think of another, and maybe you can help me out, and maybe our listeners can help us out and send me a tweet and say, hey, Dumb, you forgot this, but I can't think of another team, even the Colts. Like, they go from Peyton Manning to Andrew Luck, but that's because they bottomed out and they got lucky and they got the first pick.
Right, exactly.
And that was an obvious choice.
Exactly.
That's why when you get Ben Roethlisberger or Eli Manning, even Eli Manning, I mean, God, people weren't high on Eli Manning. Guys won two Super Bowls. When you get guys like that, you're fortunate, and your team's fortunes reflect that. It's why it's the most essential position in sports and why so few guys are that good.
Yeah, and that's why we've been chasing it for so long. No question. And I definitely think it's one of those things where people like to think that quarterbacks can be kind of bred, but their quarterbacks are born. You just know right away. Either they have that pedigree, which gives you maybe a little bit more time, or they're Dak Prescott and Russell Wilson. They step in, even though when they're not elite with the stats, and Dak's, much better at the stage than Russell Wilson was, they step in and there's just that it factor about them. And that's been the fundamental thing that lacks in Tyrod. It just feels like he's lacking that whatever that is, that quarterback instinct where he's like all of a sudden he could pull a big throw out of nowhere and be able to save the team. But, like you said, what are the options? Where do you go from there? We're not going to be in the top five anytime soon. So you kind of just have to tread water until everything shakes out, I guess. But thank you as always so much for your time. before we wrap up, I just want to ask you, what happens this week? Do you think the Bills are able to pull this off against Pittsburgh? I know the idea that Roethlisberger hasn't been very good on the road, that's kind of something I've personally been banking on. Hopefully he comes in and doesn't play so well. But how do you like the Bills' chance this week?
I really do. I really do think we're going to win this game. You know, I know Pittsburgh has a ton of weapons, and Antonio Brown may be the best wide receiver in the NFL. But I really think that we respond this week. You know, look, the defense hasn't been great virtually all season. You give up 38 against the Raiders, 21 against the Jaguars, who aren't a very good team. They played well against Cincinnati, but A.J. Green was out of the lineup, and Cincinnati does not have the offensive firepower that they've had in years past. But I really, something tells me, you know what, that we put it together. And then, for me, you know the scariest game that's left on our schedule right now? It's that Cleveland game. For some reason, I'm thinking about Cleveland coming in at 0-13, and we're the one that gives up the win. That's the one that scares me because, you know, I feel like you get a win against Pittsburgh and you've got that high, and then you kind of you're bound to have a low, and that's the one that scares me. But you know, something tells me that they're going to rise to the occasion and play well and keep the heart beating. And listen, I kind of banked on the Oakland game being a loss. I called the Pittsburgh game a win, and then I said, you know what? If we're 7-6 with Cleveland and Miami at home and in New Jersey to play the Jets, I like our chances, and I'm going to stick to that, and I'm going to pray that you and I can have a conversation before the playoffs start, and we can say, boy, it turns out Kev was right.
I certainly hope so. I hope that it turns out that everything we just talked about for 30 minutes ends up being moot because they made the playoffs, but yeah, we will see, and from your mouth to God's ears, Kevin Connors from ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at KevConnorsESPN. Tremendous as always. Thank you so much for your time, Kevin. And we'll hopefully have you on. We'll have you on again at the end of the season, but hopefully we'll be able to talk about some playoff football. So you have a great day, and thanks so much for your time.
And thank you, man. Thanks so much, and go Bills.
Go Bills. That was Kevin Connors, ESPN. He was awesome as always. That dude loves the Bills, and you can really tell the way the man talks about it, the way he feels it, the way we do. Even though he is in the heart of sports media. And I had a bunch of other questions I wanted to ask him, but we ended up really getting into it about Tyrod and the quarterback situation, and I love his perspective on that. So really hope you guys enjoy the interview as much as I liked doing it. You can follow us at Hardfile Sports on Twitter. We're on Facebook as well, Hardfile Sports. Check us out. If you like the podcast, check us out on iTunes and SoundCloud. This is the Hardfile Bills show where we talk about just the Bills season. We do try to do this weekly. We also do our normal Hardfile podcast, which is wide-ranging, talk about the whole league, we talk about the NBA, we talk about culture, politics, whatever else. That's with my good friend and co-host Jim Bear. And there's also the No Rules podcast with Bill Anacino and Jim Bear, also on Hardfile Sports, where they talk about whatever. And usually it's not sports-related, and those guys are hilarious, and they talk about some just crazy topics. So if you're interested in this more irreverent conversation, check them out. And also, HardfileSports.com, we have a ton of articles there as well. So thank you so much for your time. For Kevin Connors, my name is Evan Sally. That was the Hardfile Bills Show on the Hardfile Sports Podcast Network. You guys have a good one, and go Bills.